Final hour on a fast-moving show on a beautiful, gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Twin Cities time, Central time. Earliest presidential debate all of us can remember. The 45th president against the 46th president as we try to determine who will be the 47th president. Joe Biden, Donald Trump. The rematch, seemingly the rematch that a lot of us don't want to see, but it is happening. Are you paying attention? What do you most want to see? What is your concern level? What are you excited about? I'm about to chat with the former governor of this state, Tim Pawlenty, who's great on the radio. Afterwards, I want to hear from you through text. Again, respond right now. Your excitement level for this debate, 0 to 10. And what do you most want to see tomorrow, whether it's out of both, out of former President Trump, out of President Biden? So let me know on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text lines at 651-461-9226. Tim Pawlenty is here, kind enough to join us, as he has many times over the years. And like all of our guests, he is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Okay, when you faced your debates, and you were a part of them, I'm sure, as a House member, obviously as a governor, and then your presidential aspirations, and then when you considered the governor position again, what was your approach, and what were you most trying to achieve in a debate you were in?
Good question. Well, first of all, good afternoon to you and your listeners, Chad.
Thank
good
you,
to be
sir.
With you.
Same to you. Yep.
The debates, you know, the timing and the where and the chronology of a campaign these debates occur matters. This one's particularly early, but the ones I participated in were in advance of the party primary and caucus process. So those debates, while you wanted to be mindful of a general election audience, you were really subliminally thinking about those primary or caucus attendees, which in the case of the Republican Party tend to be conservative, in the case of the conservative, in the case of the Democratic Party, quite liberal. But some of the tactical things you have to consider are, in most debates, the viewership declines dramatically after the first half hour or 45 minutes. So the experts say if you got some great lines or zingers that you've pre-planned, you got to get them in the first 30 minutes. Again, the importance of the live debate is obvious, but what's increasingly important is being able to get a zinger or a clickbait or something that will go viral on social media in the hours and days to follow. So that's all important. In this debate, Chad, they've got an interesting situation. It's a general election debate. So each candidate is going to want to do two primary things. One, say and do things that will energize and motivate their base vote, because voter turnout, relative levels of voter turnout will make a big difference. And two, each candidate's going to want to say and do things that will try to draw the small segment of persuadable voters that are left, because most people have already decided who they're going to vote, a small segment of persuadable voters in the small number of swing states, you say and do things to draw them your way. And they'll have all kinds of people telling them what to say and do to get those particular subsection of voters to try to come their way. And those two things are a little bit in tension, by the way. If you go too crazy trying to motivate your base, you may alienate swing voters. If you go too moderate and try to get the swing voters, you may depress your base. And so those are some of the things that will be rattling through the heads of these campaigns.
Well, you nailed it, right? I mean, that is such a fine line. And listen, you're providing this analysis here. I consume a lot of it. And Tim, I'll see analysts who will say, this is all about the undecided, that Biden's got his people, Trump's got his people, and you got to get the undecided. And then I watch somebody like 5 minutes later, nope. It's all about the base. So can you think of examples for either one where, let's go with it this way, where they can appeal to independents, to that small group who can play a very important part, who haven't decided yet, but in what they're saying in a policy position or a point of emphasis in their upcoming administration that happens, where they can say this, and if hypothetically I'm the undecided one, I can say, yeah, okay, that stands out. But then if you are at home and you're a complete base guy, you're not going to say, oh, I'm done with the person because of that, because that's not easy to pull off, especially as hyper-partisan as we are now.
That's the golden zone. You just described it, Chad. And that they spend hours and hours and hours of these campaigns. Second, exactly what you just said. What are those issues that resonate with swing and independent voters simultaneously motivate and energize our base? And on that score, the issue set in 2024 for this year favors Trump in that regard. So what's Trump going to emphasize? He's going to emphasize first and foremost illegal immigration and security at the border. That's highly appealing to swing voters. It's highly motivating to his base. Two, he's going to emphasize inflation, highly motivating to his base voters, highly appealing to swing voters. Three, he's going to emphasize crime, highly motivating to his base, highly appealing to swing voters. And then lastly, he may talk a bit about some other issue, but those are three leading examples of things that go in Biden's case. If you go down his list, it's more difficult. The economic message, even though in relative terms the economy seems to be improving in some ways, is not selling. He's not making progress on that front. Two, he does have the abortion issues, regardless of what we think about it individually. Any majority of swing and voters in swing states like the Biden approach on abortion than the Trump approach. But he doesn't have that many other issues that are both base motivating and swing voter attractive or appealing. So I think Trump on the issue set has a bit of an advantage.
The 39th governor of the state of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, giving us outstanding insight as he always does. So let's just talk about their personalities and their strengths that we all know. Donald Trump is an entertainer. He, on the stump, I mean, it could be a three-hour speech. We have no idea where we're going, but he is as comfortable as anyone, and you have no idea what he's going to say. He might be right out on facts. He might not even close with facts, but he is not going to be intimidated in any way by this. Joe Biden never was a great debater before. He was good on, you know, the Sunday morning shows, like he could be Uncle Joe. Clearly, his physical decline or his cognitive decline, they've limited him a lot. Now, that doesn't mean Donald Trump hasn't slipped either, because you watch him now, and he can go off the reservation certainly more than he did 4 or 8 years ago. So when we play this expectation game, it seems most of us are going to say, well, this is a better format for Trump because he's so comfortable, whereas Biden, it doesn't work that way. How do you think that plays out with the expectation games?
I think, again, you've summarized it really well. I think the minimal expectation for Biden, regardless of the issues he talks about, is does he demonstrate the requisite mental and physical strength and energy to convince persuadable voters that he's got the strength and energy to be president for 4 more years. In Trump's case, the minimum threshold is, can he beat Trump, not be so Trump that he leads people to believe, the persuadable voters to believe he's going to be a total maniac if he gets reelected? Can he give them some reassurance that he's going to be 10 or 20% better than they think? And can he, you know, convince them that he may be somewhat better behaved? Again, we're just talking about that small slice of voters that might come his way. And we're just talking about 1 or 2 or 3%. And I think acting a little less like a total maniac could be helpful to him in that regard. But I think he's going to pound Biden on illegal immigration, inflation, crime, and wokeness run amok on the issues. And Biden's going to be all over him on abortion, on America's role in the world and democracy, and kind of notions of better economic fairness for the middle and lower middle income and working class Americans.
Can I add one more? I think Biden is going to be on him saying, look at this guy. Let's not forget it was chaos. Let's not forget January 6th. Let's not forget his recent felony convictions. That's where I think it has a chance to get testy, because it just seems like the Biden folks are saying that, yes, he has to tout the economic message, but it isn't resonating. That doesn't mean he's not going to do it, because he has to, has no choice. But he's going to try to say, I might be old, I might be moving different than I did, but I can bring stability. People don't have to agree with this. I'm just saying this is Biden's perspective versus this guy is a wild card, and don't forget what it was like, and again, fair or not, what it was like when he was the president for 4 years.
I think that's exactly right, although I would say Biden has been trying those messages, and he's behind.
Yeah.
he's not behind by a lot, but right. He's behind in almost every swing state. And if the election were held today, he would likely lose, depending on, you know, turnout, relative turnout levels. And so he's got more to lose or gain in this debate, I think, than Trump, because if he goes out and talks about infrastructure, what you just described, notions of democracy and Trump being misbehaved, you know, he's been talking about that for a year.
Yeah.
It's pretty prominent and visible levels, and he's losing.
Yeah, that is fair. Last thing, and I'll let you go.
He's going to have to be stronger. He's going to have to be stronger and more clear. He's going to have to reframe his economic message.
Last thing with the 39th governor of the state of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, and we'll let him go. Let's be honest. Both of them hide from direct, specific media. When Trump goes on, they are supporters. They are conservative-leaning. They are friends of his. And Joe Biden, he just doesn't conduct press conferences. They hide him. There'll be a major event in this country. He'll speak, and he'll leave, and sometimes he'll wander off. So now it's Jake Tapper, Dana Bash, and clearly there are conservatives out there who feel like, well, wait a second, the Clinton News Network, what are we doing? And the Trump folks are drumming that up. And people can have their own opinions on that. I completely understand that. But they're both going to face questioning that better be direct, specific, and follow-ups. And neither guy has faced that in a long time. How do you think that's going to play out?
As to them both avoiding the general public and you going to these controlled rallies where it's only your supporters or other controlled environments, that's pretty much all campaigns nowadays. But these two have taken it to a whole new level, you know, I think for obvious reasons. I do think the ability for Biden to withstand that and come across, again, clear, strong, energetic, is really important. And it goes for 90 minutes, so we'll see how he does. If he zones out or freezes up or does a sort of a distant stare for a while, I think that could be the end of his campaign.
I do too.
On the other hand, if he comes out and does a repeat of his energy level at the State of the State, that could bode well. In the case of Trump, they're going to cut his mic. Your mic gets cut off if you're not speaking. That's new. And I think Trump being a little more muted, I mean, not boring, but being a little more muted.
Right.
Could actually help him with persuadable voters.
I agree. One last thing here. Okay, so let's say Biden has a couple of those moments tonight, and he's had them, where he freezes or appears confused, right? And there are Democrats out there who are fearful of that. Do you see any realistic scenario, if this turns out to be just that bad of a night for Joe Biden, where enough top Democrats would go to him, who've known him for a long time, and say, Joe, you absolutely need to step aside? Or is that political fantasy and that just isn't going to happen?
I think it's highly unlikely, but if he does have a bad stumble, and I don't anticipate that, obviously rose to the occasion at the State of the State, and I think any minutes you can post anybody to perform at a decent level. So hopefully it won't come to that, I guess, from a Democratic standpoint. If it did, Chad, who are they going to run?
Yeah.
You know, look at Gavin Newsom. What are you going to say? I'm going to do for California, for the country, what I did for California. That's not going to sell the rest of the country. I mean, they really have, other than Michelle Obama, who has not said she won't do it and close the door on it. Who could really step in and realistically take on Trump in short notice?
Well, they'd have to get I think Josh Shapiro is going to be a star eventually, but he's, what, 2 years in as the Pennsylvania governor? Andy Beshear in Kentucky, but these aren't big names. And the vice president, most of her polling is worse than Biden. So the idea that she's going to step in and she's going to dramatically change the race, I don't see that with her either.
She's a liability, not an asset. So, it's not exactly clear that they would upgrade, but we'll see. I think it is unlikely to answer your question. So it's probably a mood issue.
Excellent stuff as always, sir. Hope you're having a good summer. We'll reach out again soon.
go back to fixing my irrigation system, Chad. My zone 3 sprinkler heads are not rotating, okay. And they need attention. So I'm okay. Back out there into the yard momentarily.
I have your number. Next time I have an irrigation issue, get over. I'll give you a beer for the help.
Good.
Thank you. Tim Pawlenty with us. Okay, let's get to a few texts. We come back. You want to react to a lot of good points. Tim Pawlenty, man, he's tremendous on this type of stuff. I'd love that feedback. It's 651-461-9226. What is your interest? Are you curious? Are you interested? What do you want to see? What are you afraid to see? Let me know. We can squeeze in a phone call, too. Jason's going to join us in about 12 minutes or so. Remind you, when the debate is done and it's 8 to 9:30, Adam Carter's going to join me. And we'll give you analysis. It could be of a complete train wreck. Maybe it'll shock us. Well, consider how sick he is. I might need him in a hermetically sealed room. But yeah, when the debate finishes, you'll be able to hear it on CCO tomorrow. So tune in right here on CCO. And then at 9:30, we're going to jump in. Text away. Call in 651-461-9226.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Among the texts coming in on your interest in the debate and what you most want to see, what you're afraid of, again, available on CCO 8 to 9:30, then I will join Adam. We'll give you coverage. I don't know how long we'll go. Maybe we'll just go right to Steve Simpson at 5 o'clock.
You got to give the people what they want, Chad.
I think the best possibilities were each going to be at respective homes. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to convince him that we both need to be drinking. You know, a little bit politics after dark.
Yeah, but see, if Carter's drinking, then he's probably going to take another 4 or 5 days off like he did this week.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a lightweight, apparently.
Yeah, that's all true. Let's get to your text here, and then Jason in minutes. Do not want to go through this again. That's a lot of people. What are we at, about 60% who want option B? Neither. More text. Bring back Dean Phillips. I think it will dislodge this division and get this country back on the right track. I will always, I've always been neutral on presidential voting. My policy is if someone ran for the position, I will consider voting for either one. And I'm not buying for 1 second it's a wasted vote until we stop bowing down to the two parties and saying, that's my only option. Then we're never going to get a third, fourth, fifth option or a third or fourth, fifth vote. Nope. If I like a candidate enough, I will vote for them if they ran in the race. Surprised that Pawlenty said Harris is liability, not an asset. He's very candid. I like that. The data so far is clear on that. You may like her. I get it. But the polling is not favorable for the vice president. It's not an easy job. I thought going into the 2020 race, she was going to win it. She had the one debate where in the end, what she said about Biden wasn't true. She didn't even make it to Iowa. So I thought when she was the attorney general in California and a senator from California, she's very smart, public savvy, great PR. I thought she'd be much stronger than she has been. She has not been. Currently, more texts are reading. I will not vote for either candidate. Biden will need to demonstrate he can control the room and command the issues without the benefit of a teleprompter. He will. That is honestly the biggest issue. Does Joe Biden look like somebody can be president? That's a bigger issue than Donald Trump just going off the reservation. What else is new? Can Joe show he's in command? And does it not look so out of the ordinary, like, by the way, the State of the Union did? I think the country, more text here, as a whole is on edge with the election. And these two candidates, it hangs all over their heads like a dark cloud. I think Trump is just as capable, reading your text here, of freezing and bumbling as bad as Biden for the debate, and he can doom himself. Well, he's fully capable of saying very, very strange things. But as an example, last night, he was on with Corey Lewandowski, a great journalist, by the way. And they're just, you know, spoon-feeding Trump stuff. Lewandowski must think he's going to a soundbite. And then there's a pause about 4 or 5 seconds. Lewandowski steps in, a little bit awkwardly, but he's not a trained journalist. And by the way, that's awkward for journalists also. And then he asks the question again to Trump, and Trump steps in. And there's site after site, left-leaning say, Trump fell asleep. Trump passed out. Come on. He gives you so much material to criticize. Don't make stuff up. Why does Maple Grove hate Jason DeRusha? We'll explore that topic next. Well, he just reminded me that tomorrow is your 2-year anniversary, so I'm expecting big Bafo show.
Yeah. Dan told me he's got a huge show planned.
Highlights.
Lots of guests, big name guests.
Yeah.
He's going to bring in all sorts of, like, Certix is going to be here with a big spread of booze and treats.
Yeah, next time they come with booze and treats, let me know.
Yeah.
I'm willing to stay.
Well, Dan said it's all going to be set for the show tomorrow.
Yeah. Except?
Apparently the Twins are on the air.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I can celebrate my damn self is what I've been told, just like everything else around here.
What if you find out that WCC Radio basically begged the Twins to go to the Diamondbacks? The Diamondbacks really wanted this as a night game.
Yeah.
But the flagship station says, please. Just do us a favor. Just we don't want like the best
3 hours of DeRusha talking about what a thrill it's been. How many of my highlights do you think are going to be on the best?
Well, so far,
100 moments of 100
have
years.
Have we played two? Have we played three?
I think I've heard two.
Yeah. Not an appearance from either one of us.
It is. Here is the challenge for this. Here's this station celebrating 100 years.
Yeah.
And I've been doing my little dog and pony show for 2 years.
Yeah.
Is there a moment worthy?
No.
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 Legitimately, no.
No.
I wouldn't even pretend.
I was asked to participate in a number of things, and I'll certainly be there. I just thought, I think that's for other people.
Yeah.
I think that's for other
people. That's like for the morning show. Let them have their, that's kind of their bit.
Yeah, and I will be brought into the room with the overrated, underrated theme song.
Yeah.
While,
live, perform live, right?
Dave will be performing live.
That's what
live
I heard, yeah.
While six beautiful women carry me in, and I'm like,
wonderful.
In a king's chair.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, I'm hoping like the two of us maybe might be the masters of ceremonies.
I mean, I am used to being invited by places that I have no affiliation with to be their master of ceremonies.
You know what else you're used to? Getting paid for it.
Got that right.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Now I am.
I'm guessing.
2 years of tasting that. It's been beautiful.
Here's my guess.
Yeah.
It's going to be you and Vanita. And then there'll be like one moment where I'm asked to go introduce something for like 5 seconds.
Mm, yeah.
That's you know, they like me, but not that much.
Not that much?
No.
That's where you want to be, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect.
Well, the last time we had a celebration there, I convinced you not to go or
yes,
to go drink
did.
Somewhere else.
We had a good time.
We had a great time. Is it possible we'll do the same thing?
That is possible.
We'll be on the way. Brett's like, where are you going? We stopped at this place eating prairie again, and we're drinking, and we're having fun.
So now Channel 4 is celebrating 75 years.
Yeah.
Now, I worked there for 20. I feel like I was there for a lot of significant moments of
but you abandoned them. You dumped them, so will they feature you?
I'm sure no. Like, so they're having a party. They're having a party on Thursday night at the station and another one on Friday afternoon. Now, did I RSVP to this party? No.
Yeah.
Like,
but you were invited.
Like, not directly. There was like a post on the alumni Facebook page.
Are they aware of the new news hits for 7 minutes? Or for seven minutes? Should have been 7 minutes.
Should have been. Some days it felt like it, for sure.
A lot of times. Yeah. 7 years. Yeah. I mean, excuse me.
Also a great part of the history. And
maybe the top.
So Thursday night, there's a party.
Yeah.
At capacity. Sorry, Duresh.
At capacity.
That's what they told me.
How could you be at capacity?
I don't know. I can't even come. I'm like, well,
that's a tough one.
They said there's like another.
That's so good.
There's like another party.
Is there like a backup party?
Yeah, like Friday 1 to 3. I said, well, who's coming to that?
Who's going to that one? I mean, if it's 1 to 3 a.m. afterwards, sounds like a fun one, but the 1 to 3?
I'm on the list for 1 to 3 p.m. Friday. They're like, well, there'll be a lot of current employees.
My God, you were there for 20 to 75 years. You're willing to go, and they say to you,
capacity.
Our ninth meteorologist is just committed. So
I didn't text any big shots yet. This was like the, you know, outgoing community affairs person who told me they were at capacity.
Are they outgoing because you were so upset that you had them fired?
I took it to the top of CBS. So funny.
Oh, my God.
At capacity.
Well, okay, by then.
20 years.
When we have our big bash, by then, Soros could own us.
Yeah.
We might be handing out liberal talking points to everybody's attending.
Yeah, we'll be getting them, of course.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, my show could use some talking points from someone. You know, a little focus.
That seems like a shot at your producer. I mean, he came in and gave you some, you know, some prep already.
Yeah.
Were you doing spots?
It's our grid. Yeah, I was doing spots.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of spots.
Big Boffo guest today?
Today we've got no huge guest today.
Yeah.
Well, the GM of the Minnesota Lynx is going to come on at 5:30.
Yeah, they're on a roll. I watched a lot of that last night.
I was having some internet.
I was too.
Oh, well, maybe it was the Amazon.
My Amazon thing. Prime.
It kept buffering. Like I had to exit out and go back in. This is why I have satellite.
I probably did like 7 times.
Me too. Oh, I was worried it was my at-home internet.
No.
It's just the broadcast.
You probably have really low speed. You want to pay for decent.
I actually get my internet from Bob across the street.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock.
I had a little microwave. He beams it across the street.
Do a lot of people still steal their Wi-Fi?
My dad was stealing. So my brother lived across the street and from my parents. And so.
Hold on.
Yeah.
He bought the house across the street?
Yeah.
Why?
I counseled against this.
Was there. Was this an ankle bracelet situation?
No.
Required?
Fair question, but no. This was like a Everybody Loves Raymond sort of scenario. Like Dan lived across the street, but I think my dad paid for internet, and they literally set up like a system where it was being beamed
back and forth
across the street.
Well, by then, maybe go underground tunnel if you're that close.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want to be that. I moved several states away.
So. Yeah, for sure. You're not next. I will say this. Years ago, Kathleen and I were together, and we were thinking about maybe getting a different house. And also we drove to place, and we weren't really paying attention. And we go to it. And also, as we're pulling the drive, I go, look what's across the street. My father's house was across the street. And she's like, should we go in? I go, no. They could give this to us for free.
Yeah.
There's
no way.
Chance in you know.
Now
what.
My sister, my wife's sister, lives one block from us, and
this sounds like a Minnesota situation. Minnesotans never leave. Chicagoans, broad shoulders. You branch out. So one across the street and one a block away.
Alyssa's sister lives a block.
From you. Okay.
This is here.
I was thinking Chicago. Okay, yeah.
So she lives a block from us.
Too close.
It's actually great. It's great.
What are you gonna say? I mean, are you going to come on?
They might be listening.
It's terrible?
No, at first I was like, are you kidding me? Right? Like, of all the neighborhoods, give me a break.
Yeah.
And the truth is, when I get plastered at a family gathering, I could just walk up the street now.
Yeah.
It's nice.
That's good.
Yeah, real convenient for
me.
That
is good. I've seen you plastered.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We haven't been plastered in a while.
No.
We need to go out and socialize.
Let's go.
Why does Maple Grove hate Jason DeRusher? That's next. No one has touted Maple Grove more than you. No one.
I think that's true. Yeah.
And you have basically on your hands and knees begging to at some point become the Grand Marshal.
Yes.
Of the Maple Grove Parade.
It's a little embarrassing. I don't like to ask for it this much, you know?
God, there's a lot of ways to go with that one, considering some of the stories and even the off-the-record story we just shared right now. You made this a big part of the 9 o'clock show.
Yeah.
You made it a part of this show.
Yeah.
You've made it a part of your show. Once again, rejected by Maple Grove. What do you have to say for yourself?
You know, every year I think it's not going to hurt as much.
Yeah.
I think this is the year that I'm going to accept it.
So are you willing to say from now on, you will not accept it? Maybe it's really hard to get.
Interesting.
That's normally not your MO.
That's not my MO.
No.
But
Hamas, you know, if you got a...
I'm getting desperate.
If you got some garden stuff over there, I'm willing to tout you on Instagram.
You know what? They're doing their best in a very difficult circumstance.
That's how your spot would start.
We all can understand that sometimes we make bad choices.
Yes. And then what do we do afterwards?
That's the mark of a man. And in this case, only men is what we're talking about.
In this case, they continue to try to do what they're doing. They just have been stopped.
So I have not been selected as the Grand Marshal of the Maple Grove Days Parade.
When is it?
Again.
Is it coming up? Oh. Week? Month?
It is, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know when it is. It's usually the week after the 4th of July is when.
In a strange way, it just brings me joy. And I like you, you know, but I think this is like a Susan Lucci situation. Now, Susan Lucci eventually won, I think, multiple daytime Emmys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I think you should call out Maple Grove. Do you have a good opening 305 segment?
Just about this, you think? I should just go hardcore?
Yeah. I'm done with you.
There was a year that I live tweeted the Maple Grove Parade.
That's right.
It was a long time ago. This was back when Twitter was more innocent and stupid. We were just doing stupid stuff.
Just having fun.
It was just fun.
Now we'd be taken completely the wrong way.
Already I posted this thing on Facebook and someone's like, I'm disappointed you live in Maple Grove. It's such a cookie cutter, non-diverse community. It's like, okay.
That's it.
She was from Golden Valley.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. Buckle up.
Yeah. I think when you and Alyssa were looking, where do the whites live? That's pretty much what you said.
Well, so I gave her some racial data and she's like, oh, I wasn't talking about race. I meant like the houses all look the same. I'm like, maybe don't use the word diversity then. If that's what you mean.
We are now talking about diversity with
I meant
houses.
Like diversity of housing. Okay. All right.
Sure.
Maple Grove has...
How about this? Offer yourself up at 305 to another community. What's in it for you? What's in it for them?
Ember Grove Heights, Roseville, South St. Paul, North St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Roseville, among the other cities where I have been Grand Marshal of their parade.
That's a lot. Maybe they think you're over. Right?
Well, what Maple Grove does...
You know what we need to do? We need to pause. We'll continue this with the Canopy Spot in a moment.
So the Canopy Group is all about hometowns, right? They love parades. They love supporting parades.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Don't you think Kyle and the whole team at thecanopygroup.com, your place to go to comparison shop, your insurance, where they do all the work for you, wouldn't they love to see like a nice Canopy Group banner? And, like, maybe I could ride in the Canopy Group float.
I'm sure you could.
And it would say, like, not Grand Marshal, Jason DeRusher. Minor Marshal.
What if you
less
could?
Than
well, here's
grand.
What I would like. Here's a better. Get Canopy.
Yep.
You must know this, the plan, the way they go, their route very well.
Oh, yeah.
Barge in.
It's four blocks from my house.
A la Animal House. Mm. You know, just
start marching.
Yeah, you have a vehicle.
Should I bring this banner, the big WCCO banner?
Well, this is our only one.
I could bring the one that says Grand Marshal of the, you know, Imber Grove Heights parade.
My favorite about
Mendota
that,
Heights.
When we were sold, was it Odyssey that bought us? Whoever bought us. And they needed something that identified the station. Carter had made a fake Chad Hartman Show t-shirt, like with crayons or something. And so when the big story ran in the paper, was I was talking with my father with the t-shirt in the background. It looked like, you know, a cul-de-sac show.
No disrespect to Mary, who is the actual Grand Marshal of the parade this year.
Good luck to Mary.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.